that you are our rock on which we build our lives. And God, today as we open up your word and seek to continue to build our lives on this thing called the solid rock of your teachings, God, I just pray that as we open up your word, it would be animated by your Holy Spirit. That it wouldn't be my words spoken today, but your Spirit would truly speak, would truly draw us towards you, would convict us, would shape us, would mold us, would empower us. And that as we walk out of this place today, that we pray that we would walk out looking a little bit more like your Son, Jesus. God, thank you for how you're going to work in this place today. In your precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, church, if you got your Bibles, you open them up to Ephesians chapter 6 today. We are continuing to walk through Ephesians chapter 6, looking at what's known as the armor of God. And the reason why is because of what Ephesians 6 says, that we are in a battle. We're not in a battle against flesh and blood, against other political parties, against our neighbor, whatever it is. We are in a battle that is spiritual. And every single day, every single moment, we have an enemy who's tempting to attack us, derail us, and stop what God is trying to do in your life. If you were a follower of Jesus, you have an enemy, but Ephesians tells us that you have an enemy, but you also have armor. The armor of God. And so we've been walking piece by piece through it, not only for our own lives, but also looking at how we can incorporate these pieces of armor into our families. Because our goal as Christian parents, for those of us who still have kids in the home, is not just to raise up kids who have mommy and daddy's faith, but eventually ones who grow up to have their own faith, have their own armor, their own relationship with Jesus, and their own ability to fight the battle, stand on truth, and walk in righteousness in their life. And so today we're continuing on to Ephesians chapter 6, going down one more verse, but I'm going to read from the beginning for us today. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Today we're going to talk about the shield. Now I'm personally a fan of shields. They're personally something I can get behind. But thank you. The jokes are not going to get any better today, so thank you for laughing. You might as well laugh now. But we're going to talk about shields today and talk about this thing called the shield of faith. And just a reminder, when Paul is writing this, he is in a Roman prison or he's under house arrest in Rome. And so he's looking at Roman armor all around him. And so likely his reference point is the Roman suit of armor. So we've kind of been referencing that throughout this series. How the belt is this thing that he calls the belt of truth, that everything was kind of connected to and everything sort of clipped into, how the breastplate of righteousness is this thing that covers the heart. And today we're going to talk about this thing called the shield of faith. And so as we unpack this today, our big questions are this: what exactly is a shield of faith? What exactly is faith? How is it a shield? And how in the world can it extinguish flaming darts of the enemy? And so we're going to kind of break this apart together. So let's start with this. Let's start with the shield. Let's look at what it is. What exactly is faith? How in the world is this thing called faith a shield? Let's go back a second. We've been going through Ephesians 2 quite a bit throughout this series because it's an amazing passage, but it's also very connected to Ephesians 6. And in it, Paul writes this. He says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, as we read the whole passage, it tells us this. It tells us that we are justified, saved by faith. And in Ephesians 2, we talked about this last week, out of that justification, out of that saving relationship with Jesus, we get a relationship with God. It says that we become a part of God's household. It says that we are able to become dwelling places of God through His Holy Spirit. And so there's this connection to God that comes through faith. By faith, we start a relationship with God, and that relationship changes everything in our life. Now, why is that important? Because when we have God inside of us, when we are part of God's household, we can call God our Abba, Father, when we're walking in relationship with God, it changes how I fight everyday battles. My daughter is in this period of time where she's beginning to have this belief system. It's wrong, but she's beginning to have this belief system that her father knows everything and can do anything. And it's beautiful. She'll say things sometimes like, man, my daddy knows everything. And I'll go, oh, honey, go tell your mom that. You know, like there's these moments where she just, oh. She'll at night, she'll have moments where she's just like, you know, afraid of monsters. She wants daddy to lay with her, to protect her from the monsters. Because I obviously have a monster-killing physique. Like she... It's so interesting. She has these, you know, this amazing belief in her dad. And that's a great thing. Most kids have that. They have good parents, right? My parents can do anything. My parents know everything. My daddy can do anything. And then we come to this relationship with God where we're able to call God our Heavenly Father, and we're able to pray our Father in heaven. We're able to talk to Him like we would our Heavenly Father and come to Him with anything in our life. That changes the battle a little bit. When I'm going through temptations and trials and depressions and all the things that are being flung at me, it changes it a little bit when God is my Heavenly Father, when I can talk to Him like I would my own father. It changes things a little bit. I can come to Him and I can come against my problems and go, listen, do you know who my dad is? You know, when we were kids, sometimes we say things like, well, my dad can beat up your dad. In the same way, when I'm walking with my Heavenly Father, man, my dad can beat up your dad. My Heavenly Father can take on anything. And so the first thing that faith does is it gives us relationship with God, which then changes how we go into battles, which changes how we go into trials and things that come against us. Then we get to 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1, Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Let's boil this down for a second. There's a group of people that are going through a bunch of trials, a bunch of painful things, and Peter is telling them two things. One, this thing called faith, your faith in God, is shielding you by the power of God. As you have faith in God, you are being shielded by God's power. But then the second thing he says is this, because you're coming towards something, towards an inheritance. What is this inheritance? He's talking about heaven. He's talking about eternity. Fact is, faith is the belief in the inheritance that we're receiving. Faith, as we're going through trials, is understanding that there is something better, that my God can work all things for the good of those who love Him or are called according to His purpose, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard the amazing things that God has prepared for those who love Him and have been called by Him. I'm moving towards an inheritance. I don't know how many of you are currently doing some sort of a workout regime or a diet change in your life? Anybody in that boat where they're kind of watching what they eat? They're watching their exercise? Only a couple of you. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, don't mean to be convicting here, but maybe we should think about that. No, but, you know, I don't know many people who just wake up one day and they go, you know what I'd love to do? I would love to go in the cupboard and take out all of the bread, all of the sugar, all of the fat, all of the good stuff. Anything that tastes good, let's just get rid of it. No one just does that. I mean, if they do, they're a psychopath. Right? People do that for a reason. People go to the gym for a reason. What? There is an inheritance they're trying to receive. They want to lose a certain amount of weight. They want to gain a certain amount of muscle. They want to be able to do something in the future, like pick up grandkids. Whatever it is, there's something they're working towards. They have faith that if I keep going and putting in the work, even though it's uncomfortable, even though I may not always like it, even though I may have to say no to some things right now, I'm moving towards something that I believe is better. And in the same way, faith through trials is this. It's understanding that I believe there's something better. It may be uncomfortable right now. I may not like it right now. I may have to say no to things that I'd like to say yes to right now. But I believe there's something better that God has for me. That's faith. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Tony Evans puts it this way. He says that biblical faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it may be so because God said so. It's a lot of so's. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Most of you today, when you came into this place, you demonstrated what faith really looks like. Most of you, when you came into this place today, you came down and you picked out a chair and you just sat in it, right? I don't think any of you came in, you kind of like gingerly sort of put like one cheek down just to see if it was going to hold you, all right? And then, most of you just sat. Why? Because you were very confident that this chair was going to hold you, right? It's a pretty good idea. It's got metal legs. It probably will hold you. So you put your whole body weight onto this thing that you had faith would be able to hold you. And the reality is that is what faith is. Faith is not just believing, yeah, I think that chair could hold me. Faith is the action of stepping out. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Hebrews 11 is one of the greatest passages on faith. If you're not familiar with it, it's a great read. It's known kind of as like the Hall of Fame of faith, because the whole thing is like this. It's like so-and-so, like Enoch, David, Abraham, Noah, Rahab, and there's a whole list. And for each of them it says this, by faith, and then it lists the thing that they did. Because the reality is this, faith is measured by your feet. Faith is measured by what you are doing, so to speak. Faith is not just believing something about God, it's putting feet behind it. The fact is, feet reveal our faith. Faith isn't just a feeling, it's an action. That's why it's called walking by faith. Faith is an action. In fact, it is an action that sometimes defies our feelings. There's moments where people can feel faithless but still have faith. They can feel like they can't go another step, but they keep walking despite their feelings because they have faith. Faith is a belief that takes over my whole entire life. This past summer at summer camp, a couple of our senior high students did something called the Leap of Faith. I got some great pictures. I haven't been able to share it anywhere. So there we go. You guys get to all enjoy that glory right there. And the cool thing, I don't know if you're unfamiliar with what this is. You get hooked up to a rope. You climb up to the top of a telephone pole. and you stand at the top, and if you're like Jameson and your feet are huge, you have like 2% of your feet on this pole. Like, it's really small. And you get up there, and then what you have to do is there's this bar out here, and you've got to jump out and grab onto the bar, or at least try to. Either way, you're going to be caught by the rope. And they did a fantastic job, but as I was watching them, I was reminded when I was younger, I was like in middle school, and I did it as well. And I remember getting up there, man, there's a lot of things they tell you. Like, they talk to you about like how safe it is. They tell you how many elephants these ropes can hold, like that matters. And you get up there, and all that information, at least for me, that I had, it just went out of my brain. Like, I knew, yeah, I know, theoretically, I know from an engineering standpoint, yes, this can hold me, but now I'm up here, my knees are knocking together, and I'm supposed to jump, and everybody's chanting, jump, 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 jump. I just couldn't do it. The reason being was because I had the information up here, but I hadn't gotten it down to my feet. And the reality is that's what faith is. It's going from here to our feet. It's not just believing that God loves me. It's actually walking and acting and treating myself and other people like God loves me. It's not just believing that God has a plan for my life. It is walking in that plan and seeking to walk in righteousness and walk in obedience every day, because I believe that God has a way and a plan for my life that is different than the world's plan, and I refuse to let anything derail that. Not just believing that the Bible is true. It's actually living it out, having it be a part of my life. It's not just believing that, yeah, Jesus says there'll be trials and people who hate me. It's actually walking that out and obeying and actually loving those who persecute you, doing good to those who persecute you, and praying for those who wish you harm, hate you. Belief is great and amazing, but faith is where we take belief and it moves to our feet. So what does this have to do with being a shield? Well, as we just said, the Bible says there is a power through faith that is protecting us. The Bible says that faith is this thing that helps us get through trials, and through faith we have a relationship with God. But also, faith is the thing that is keeping us moving forward. Faith is stepping out and taking God up on his promise, acting like God is telling the truth. And so when we walk into battle, when we walk into moments of despair and discouragement and pain and suffering and temptation and trials, faith is the thing we are holding up, and not only is it shielding us, but we're holding it up and extinguishing the fiery darts of the enemy. Going, no, I believe what God said. I'm going to walk in it. No, I believe that God has a better way. I'm going to walk in it. No, I believe that God can give me forgiveness from this pain and bitterness in my life, and I'm going to walk in that. So let's talk about the purpose for a second. Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts, arrows of the evil one. The reality is Satan's attacks can sometimes cause us to doubt God. But it's in those moments that faith prompts us to believe God. We often give in temptation when we believe that what temptation is offering is better than what God has promised us. But faith reminds us that through fulfillment of God's promises, even though we can't see him right now, God is bringing us something better. When Satan attempts to plague us with doubt or entice us with instant gratification, faith recognizes that there's something better that isn't now. When Satan accuses us, faith chooses to believe that Jesus has redeemed us and there's no more condemnation for us. When the world tells us to run to everything but God, faith reminds us to stay humble and humble ourselves under God's mighty hand and cast all of our cares on him, because he cares for us. The reality is faith protects us from doubt, despair, discouragement, temptation, all of these flaming darts that come from the enemy. And let's talk about this for a second. You notice it's very specific. It doesn't just say darts or arrows. It says what kind? Flaming. Now, I don't know how many of you have watched enough movies about the medieval times or cowboy and Indian movies, whatever it may be. But generally speaking, a flaming arrow is not just designed to set a person on fire, is it? The design is that you would shoot this arrow, it would stick in something, and then this fire would spread. And so if it was a structure, a barrier, a wall, the idea of this flaming arrow would come and it would just spread and do even more damage. And it's interesting because a lot of the arrows that the devil shoots at us, they also spread. Things like despair, discouragement, pain, anger, sadness, doubt, temptation, sin. These things will come, and if they aren't dealt with and extinguished, they spread, don't they? We can't just block the arrows of our enemy. We have to extinguish them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes this. He says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's a lot in this passage, and we've gone over it before. The first part to remember is we don't wage war as the world does. That's a key difference there. But instead, we tear down strongholds and arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. How do we do that? How do we tear down arguments and strongholds? Take every thought captive? What do we do when these arrows of the enemy hit our life and the fire begins to spread? What do we do when doubt creeps in? When despair creeps in? When that anger and bitterness starts to singe the outsides of our life? What do we do in those moments? How do we extinguish them with this shield called faith? How do we fight not as the world does, but as God has called us to? Well, here's the deal. I have noticed with pain and suffering and things that really hurt in our life, there's a way that the world tries to deal with it. When doubt starts to creep in or hurt starts to creep in, there's three main ways I've noticed. The first way is to deny it. Kind of pretend like it doesn't hurt. Oh yeah, that's no big deal. Kind of minimize it or ignore it. And a lot of people I've noticed think this is kind of what faith is. Like walking by faith is denying that things hurt. Walking by faith is denying that there's pain in my life. Maybe even walking by faith is choosing not to admit there's some moments that I don't feel like a good follower of Jesus, but I say the things that I'm supposed to say as a good follower of Jesus, kind of fake it till you make it. And maybe they'll just go away, and then this pain doesn't go away. It just stays there. It just gets buried. The second thing a lot of people try to do is kind of detach from it. They let it be in their life. Yep, that hurts, that stinks, that was a terrible thing. I wish they hadn't said that, I wish they hadn't done that, I wish that hadn't happened. But they kind of don't let themselves feel the pain. That what eventually happens there is eventually it comes back, doesn't it? And the third thing is that we deny, we detach, and finally we drug. For some people, this is actual drugs, actual alcohol and other things, but for other people, it's anything that helps to distract us from the pain. For some people, it's work. They drug themselves with work. That's all they do because when they're at home, they're thinking about these things, this pain, this torment, this hurt, this anxiety. For others, there's other things that they do, whether it's their activities, the busyness of their life, anything that helps them to be distracted from the pain. What do we do instead? We just read a second ago, even though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. How do we extinguish the flaming darts of the enemy, especially the ones that cause us pain spare sadness, doubt, hurt, bitterness? How do we extinguish these darts? By taking them captive and bringing them to God. See, sometimes we think, man, our best thing we can do with our pain, our doubt, is that we got to hide it. We got to deal with it ourselves. We got to fix ourselves. And I just remind you, the whole point of following Jesus is not that you're good enough or you make yourself good enough or you clean yourself up or you hide your sins from God. The whole point of following God is that when I am doubting, when I am hurting, when I am not looking like Jesus, that the place where I should be is getting as close to Jesus as possible. I shouldn't be hiding. Sometimes I'll hear from people, I hate this. It's a lie from Satan. And it used to just kind of be like, oh, that's just not a great thing to believe. Now it just kind of makes me mad that Satan's winning in their life. Sometimes people will say, I didn't want to go to church this weekend because of X. You know, I did this thing. I messed up on Friday. I said I wouldn't drink anymore and there I did it. Or I said I wouldn't do this and I did it again. And so I thought, well, I probably shouldn't go to church. Ugh! Church is the place where you should be. Because it's when we're messed up, when we're far from God, when we're hurting, that we should be as close as we possibly can to God. Because He's the one who can clean us up. He's the one that can help us. And the reality is, when I'm hurting, the best place I can go is to Jesus. And you know, we went through the Lord's Prayer in our last series. But as we look at the Old Testament, Lord's Prayer is a great way for us to pray, starting first with praising God, adoring Him for who He is. But sometimes when you read the Old Testament, when people are mad at God, the way they pray is they just tell God. I love, you know, whether it's David, whether it's Jeremiah, whether it's Gideon or Moses, there's so many moments where people have come to God in the Old Testament. They're just like, God, this sucks. And like, you're great, but like, this, in this area, I feel like you kind of suck too. And they just have a conversation with God. For instance, David, Psalm 13. He has this moment where he starts off. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? It translates that to our language of today. Hello? Anybody there? This stinks. I don't like it. Why is it that they're doing better than me? My enemies are winning. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. How long? Did you just forget I was here? But as always, David, as he does in so many cases, when he goes and kind of gives God the business, he eventually ends with, but God, I'm going to keep praising you. Because I know you and I love you. But God's okay with us bringing stuff to Him. Jeremiah 12 is another perfect example of this. Oh, I love this one. Jeremiah comes to God and he starts off so nicely. He says, Lord, you are righteous and awesome. But I would speak to you about your justice. And Jeremiah proceeds to pretty much go, God, you're great. But why is it that my life stinks and everyone and I'm following you and everyone who's not following you seems to be doing really, really well? I'm sick of it. I want them to at least suffer or make my life better. And God kind of walks with him through that. Gideon's another one. God comes to him and says, hey, you're going to lead my people. And Gideon goes, yeah, excuse me. Pardon me, Lord. Like, it's kind of like when somebody says, with all due respect, like, you know, they're about to say something super disrespectful. Pardon me, Lord. But yeah, if you're with us, where have you been? Because all this stuff has been going on. He goes through the whole list. Why is this important? Because what I love to see in the Bible is that people are able to come to God and bring it all to Him and go, this is how I feel. In the same way in your life, one of the best things you can do when you're hurting, when you're in pain, when you're doubting, when you're in despair, when the battle's getting tough, the best thing you can do is come to God and go, here, this is how I'm feeling. I'm mad. I don't want to forgive him. I'm in pain. This stinks. I'm a little mad at you right now, God. Whatever it is, the best thing we can remember is that God's big enough to handle it. Whatever the thing is that you're going through, we can bring it to God and then allow Him to change our hearts and work with us. The fact is, faith isn't not feeling things. That's a double negative. Let's try that again. Faith isn't the absence of feelings, but it's trusting God with my feelings. Faith isn't the absence of feelings, it's bringing our feelings to God. And so in those moments, when those lies start going in my head, whatever it may be, faith says, no, I'm going to bring these things to God. Devil says, God's not working here. You're alone, you're too far gone, you've messed up too many times, whatever it is. Faith says, no, I'm going to stand on God's truth, I'm going to bring it to Him and walk by how He's called me to be. This piece of the armor is so incredibly important for our kids to understand. Because each and every one of our kids who grow up in a Christian home, who seeks to, for their kids to be like Jesus, they will mess up. They will struggle. They will have moments where they feel like they're not enough. And if we teach them that this is the standard and that's it, what they're going to find is they're going to find themselves burying things that they've done. They're going to find themselves feeling ashamed, like they're not enough. But instead, what we have to teach them is to walk by faith in the fact that God can make them better. Faith that they can bring everything to God. And in faith, taking these moments of despair and sadness and depression and bringing them to their almighty Heavenly Father. It's the most important lesson we can teach our kids. Once again, is it not that they need to be perfect, but they need to run to the one who is perfect and can perfect them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. So we've talked about this thing called the shield of faith. We've talked about how it's used and what it's used for, but finally I want to end with who it's used with. See, as Paul's writing this, he's writing with the idea of the Roman army in mind. And one of the things that the Roman army was really well known for was their discipline and tactical advantage that they had on the battlefield. And something they would often do, especially if they were marching towards an enforced area or a built-up area, like a wall of a city or an embankment, what they would do is they would lock their shields together in something that has come to be known as the tortoise formation. Testudo is the Latin word, but it means tortoise. And they would lock their shields together something like this. And they would march together with some covering the head, others covering the front, others covering the side, and they would march together, basically creating a human tank. And I love this because I think this is the perfect picture of what the church is supposed to be. You were never called as a follower of Jesus to stand by yourself with your faith out in front of you, fighting against the arrows of the enemy, and do that by yourself. You were called to do it with other believers who are standing along beside you, who have your back, who have your side, who have above you, and are walking alongside you and fighting alongside you and blocking the enemy's blows alongside you. We're called to do this in community. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Galatians 6:2 says, to bear one another's burdens. And Hebrews 10:24 says, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I know those were quick, but I think those are the three keys to walking alongside each other. Encourage one another and build each other up, bear one another's burdens, and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So there's three pieces there. Build each other up, because at some point in life you will need encouragement. Bear one another's burdens, because at some point you will fall down and need someone to pick you up. And spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Because every now and then, you need a good kick in the butt. Every now and then, I need to be spurred or encouraged. If you imagine back to our formation, if one of those guys, especially in the front, just went, you know, I'm just going to stop. I'm tired. What do you think is going to happen? Somebody's bumping into him from behind, right? In the same way, I need people at times in my life as we stand by faith and do this thing called life together. I need people who are going to build me up sometimes and encourage me and go, you can do this. Come on, keep going. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your marriage. God has a plan for you. Keep moving. You got this. Other times, I just need someone just to pick me up, bear my burdens, help me up. I just can't go another step. And other times, I need someone to spur me on. Okay, Tim, I'm sorry you're sad about that. How long are you going to whine about it before you get up and start loving them again? Before you get up and start moving forward? We all need those people in our lives, and because the reality is we were never meant to do this alone. And so I ask you today, as a follower of Jesus, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, who has your back? Who is covering you with their shield, so to speak? Who knows enough about your life to be walking with you, to be picking you up, to be bearing your burdens? Who knows enough about your burdens to lift those burdens? Who knows enough about your life to spur you on and encourage you and build you up? Who are you in relationship with? Who's praying for you? And if there's no one, boy, we'd love to connect you with people that would love to do that for you. This is why life groups matter. This is why relationships matter. This is why being with other people matters. But secondly, I like to ask, if you're a follower of Jesus, who are you covering? Who are you supporting? Whose burdens are you bearing? Who are you praying for right now? Whose marriage are you lifting up in prayer? Whose kids are you lifting up in prayer? Who are you helping to pick up when things get tough? Who are you walking alongside? Because, as we've always said, anytime God does something in you, He always wants to do something through you. Who are you supporting and being Jesus to? Who are you walking alongside? Let's end today with a word of prayer as we come before God. And God, we just thank you for every person that's here today. And I just want to lift up anyone in this place who's struggling in the area of faith. God, I just pray for anyone who's wrestling today, who maybe has doubt today. God, I just pray that they would be reminded of how much you love them, of how real you are in their life and the plan you have for them. God, I pray that by faith they would be able to surrender all of those thoughts over to you, that they'd be able to bring everything to you today. God, I pray for those who are just going through the battle right now, that you would continue to strengthen them by the faith that they have, bit by bit, moment by moment, step by step. And God, I pray that we would be able to be a church that supports one another, that prays for one another, that gets into the battle together, that doesn't see this whole thing called spiritual warfare as some nice thing we preach about, but understanding that it is a reality throughout every single day. God, help us to be a people who are on the war path, a people who have our eyes open and our ears attentive to anything that might be going on around us that might be our enemy, the devil, prowling around like a roaring lion. God, help us to be a people who are warriors, who have one another's backs, who help to encourage one another, to bear one another's burdens, to build each other up, and to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Thank you, God, for how you're working in this place, for the armor that you've given us. Help us to be a people that walk by your word alone. You are awesome. You're amazing. You're incredible. We praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.